Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Lori Walsh. Thanks so much for being with us. And you still have plenty of time because the next hour we're going to have live chamber music here from the Black Hills Studio in downtown Rapid City. You can also watch online at sdpb.org or just sit back and listen and enjoy on the radio as well. Michael Hill is here. He is the executive director of the
Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills.
Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. Michael, thanks for being here, and thanks for bringing the musicians in with you. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, and it's an honor to be here today with you. Thank you for having us.
So I'm going to have you start by introducing the musicians that you have here.
Okay. All right. So one of the highlights, this is our flagship program for this concert, this every Friday night for the next 3 weeks at the Performing Arts Center. I'd love to introduce our musicians. Today on violin, we have Dr. Wanchi Huang from James Madison University. Wave to the camera, Wanchi. There you go. Fine, there it is. And violin also, Justin Bruns from the Atlanta Symphony, is the Associate Concertmaster of Atlanta Symphony. On viola, we have Hyobi Sim from St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. On cello, we have Mr. Joel Dallow from the Atlanta Symphony. On piano, we have Alan Morrison. He's the organ professor at the Curtis Institute of Music. And our star for this next work we're going to perform for you is Tobias Greenhall from all over the place, because Tobias is an internationally acclaimed operatic baritone. And he joins us from all over the place. He's going to be moving to Germany soon. And his next concert series is in Poland. So good luck getting a flight. And so first, we'd like to play a short Beethoven piece for you. This is Beethoven's 205th anniversary. This is a rarely performed work. It's an incredible piece that Dawn, our artistic director, found. It's not well known that Beethoven wrote a series of Irish songs in English set to the poetry of Thomas More. And this will be The Massacre of Glencoe. Isn't that a beautiful work?
That is gorgeous. Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, these are kind of a hidden gem. They're not performed very often, and we're not sure why. So we're going to bring it back to popularity. They're just incredible works. And this will be over at the Performing Arts Center on Friday. We're doing four of these. Beethoven wrote, I believe it's about 45 to 50 of these. There were publication issues, so not all of them are published. But we're bringing our four favorite to the performance on this coming Friday.
So talk a little bit about how you select musicians, how you select the pieces that you're going to perform.
Well, let's talk about the musicians. Tobias has a great story with us. He joined us back in 2009. He was a student at the Johanna Meyer Opera Institute in Spearfish. And Johanna has been a great friend to us, and I spoke to her that summer, called her up and said, Johanna, do you have any special students you'd like us to feature? And she said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. There's a young student from Juilliard, and this kid's going to have a huge career, and it would be great. So we have the great honor of offering Tobias his first professional gig, as it were.
Outside of New York.
Outside of New York.
Yep.
Yeah, and so his career began here in the Black Hills. Wow. He also turned 21 that summer. And Tobias has had a great connection to the Black Hills. So he also sang with us in 2010. Mm-hmm. And Tobias, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing since?
Sure.
Because it's really quite amazing.
Let's see. Right after that, I finished school. I got my master's at Juilliard. I was an undergraduate when I came out here for the first time. I did a few young artist programs in the United States, one in Palm Beach, St. Louis, and Wolf Trap, which is near D.C. And then I moved to Vienna, Austria, not Vienna, Virginia. I had a two-year contract at the Theater an der Wien in Vienna, and I sang 60 performances per season and got a load of experience and just was thriving and living life to the fullest over there. And since then, that contract finished in 2016. Since then, I've literally lived out of a Samsonite suitcase and just traveled the world from contract to contract. And I've had some amazing experiences. I'm also quite tired from jet lag all the time. And next year, I'm moving to Germany to be the lead baritone at an opera house in Essen, Germany. It's a very good theater. So,
talk a little bit about how you discovered your voice.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Rochester, New York. I grew up in a town. Rochester is in between Toronto and New York City, and there's also the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, so I was kind of peppered with Broadway musicals and chamber music and these type of things from a young age. My parents are not musicians, but they brought us to see all concerts and musicals and whatnot. My older brother was a singer, and he played the violin, and I played cello for 10 years. Wasn't as good as Joel, obviously. I hated practicing. But around 14, my voice changed, and I auditioned for the musical in the high school, and the woman who ran the program told me that I will be a professional opera singer someday. And I just laughed in her face because I was obsessed with soccer and sports and just being a boy. And then I continued following this, and I started studying with a private teacher, and I really started to believe that I could do it, and I fell in love with classical music, more importantly. They both recommended my voice teacher and my drama teacher that I audition for Juilliard. Again, I laughed in their face, but I got in, and I figured if I get in this young of an age, I should do this for a living, and I'm happy I did.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here.
We're thrilled to have Tobias back with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It's been a great opportunity for us, and it's so nice to see him grow. His career has taken off. He's reached a level that very few people reach, and we're thrilled to have him here in the Black Hills performing. He's been narrating our educational programs. We've been doing the Three Little Pigs this week, set to opera themes.
Yes.
So Tobias has been narrating for all the children in the area, and he's been getting to meet them.
It's been really rewarding.
Yeah, we did a program up in Lead, and then we were in Rapid City, and so we've been all over the place, and it's great having him work with us.
I can hear the big bad wolf, Ray.
Yeah,
I play that character the best.
Okay.
The next musician I'd like to introduce, Mr. Alan Morrison on piano. Alan's been with us actually from the very beginning. When we first formed our group in 2004, Alan was teaching at Rollins College in Florida before he was whisked off to the top conservatory in the country, Curtis Institute. So he is one of our founding members. And it's great to have Alan back. And Alan, I'm going to throw you under the bus because Alan's kind of a celebrity also. He has been on the Fred Rogers show since we are on public broadcasting.
Okay.
I would like to give that a plug. Alan grew up, his mother was in a piano duo with Fred Rogers' wife. Do I have that correct?
Joanne.
And so Alan, as a child, appeared twice on the show and as a young pianist. And there was one on organ. After college, so you just looked young. Okay, and he still looks young. But anyways, but it's a great honor to have Alan with us. And would you guys tell us a little bit about it, if you don't mind.
About Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
He was like a second father with my mother and his wife, and they all three went to school together. Oh. And they formed a piano duo back in the 40s. And they developed the duo, and they were under professional management, toured until about 2006. So I grew up with Joanne as like a second mother, because she lived in our house most of the year, practicing and touring with my mother. And Fred was my confidant. He knew more about me probably than anybody, and very special person, and he was as he was on TV, but most importantly, a great listener.
Well, welcome back to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
If we could, I'd like to share some of our educational programs
we've
been doing. It's a neat opportunity when these great musicians come to town and perform for the community, but it's even more important for us to have them involved in the community and working with the kids directly. So like I mentioned, we've been doing the musical story time, and next week begins our children's concerts, and we have master classes, and we have the neat opportunity this year. We received a matching grant to purchase instruments for the children at General Beadle. It's the Discovery Program at General Beadle. We've been working with them for quite a few years. So I received a call from an executive director of a foundation in Boston, called me up and said, South Dakota is not on our list yet, and explained the foundation. And he found out about us through another Rapid City native, Bill Rounds, plays cello, grew up here in Rapid City, plays in Boston Symphony and Boston Pops. So his stand partner has this foundation. His name's Mike Reynolds. And so he called me up and said, we have an opportunity. We'd like to offer you guys a matching grant to purchase instruments for the kids, because he had heard about all the great programs we're doing here. So we started our first summer string program. We're calling it the Discovery of Strings. And as that was being put into place, my wife was sharing this with a friend of hers. And he said, well, I've got these child-sized harps. You want them? So we brought out 5 harps. And we've been working hard with the kids, and they have taken a huge liking to it. They love it. We started off with 10 harp students, now we have 15. It's growing quickly, and we're gonna have to start getting more instruments. Our string orchestra is up to 20 kids now, and it's really moving forward nicely. And it's a great opportunity for these kids to have quality instruments in their hands. And then they get to meet our musicians. And they meet them through the story time, through the children's concerts, through the master classes. And all of these programs are offered free. We work very hard to get support, and we've got a lot of great foundations that support us for these programs. So this summer we're doing about 50 programs free. Actually, it'll be more than 50, absolutely free to all the kids in the Black Hills. We cover Sturgis, Lead, Deadwood, the Children's Home in Rockerville, Rapid City, and Hill City.
Talk a little bit about putting these instruments in children's hands for the first time.
Well, it's amazing. And the neatest thing is, after the story times, all the kids line up. They know the routine, that they hear the story, they love it. And then afterwards, they get to play the instruments. So if you can imagine a child, if you were 4 years old, and the first person that's going to put a violin in your hands is a member of the Atlanta Symphony or the St. Paul Chamber or Minnesota Orchestra. These are phenomenal musicians giving these kids a really neat opportunity. So, now, and the reason that this is so important to us is it develops the brain development increases greatly when they're involved with music. Study after study shows that study of music and arts increases their ability, increases their cognitive skills, their understanding, their multitasking. And when you're developing your future workforce, you want an employee that thinks faster, can solve problems faster. And these kids our goal is to keep them involved in school and to get them to a higher level of education. Therefore, they gain jobs that have a higher pay. So to us, this is really an economic driver in addition to just an educational opportunity. It's an economic driver because we're building a workforce for the future that thinks faster, works harder, has better focusing skills. If you're the owner of a company and you have employees, you want them to be able to solve problems quickly, speak clearly, communicate. These are all skills that study after study, it's without a doubt, are increased greatly with music educational programs.
Well, and appreciating music in general.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I
and coming to your concerts,
and,
right?
And the kids here are amazing, because so we started a general music class this summer also. So Dawn comes in and sets up. The first thing they're going to listen to is Edvard Grieg. And she had a couple weeks of introducing Edvard Grieg because she knows the music and knows that it also is familiar to the kids. They hear it in the movies, they hear it in their cartoons, in their video games. So she explained to the kids, I'm going to have you listen to this piece and then we're going to talk about it. So we listened to the music of Edvard Grieg, and the music ends, and she asked the children, do you know what that is? And one little boy shyly raised his hand. He goes, you know, I think that's the Nutcracker Suite. The kid next to him smacked him on the arm and said, that's not the Nutcracker, that's Edvard Grieg. That's in the Hall of the Mountain King. and chastised his friend for getting it wrong. And we just broke out laughing. So the kids here, there's great programs here in Rapid, and the kids are learning a great deal of information, and they're retaining it. And that's these are skills and development of the brain in a growing mind that are really important. Okay. And that's why we do these.
Shall we do another piece?
Yeah. Okay. How about Smetana? And I'll introduce the musicians after that. The Smetana, where's my notes? It's a beautiful piece. Why don't we listen to it first? And then I'll tell you about it. It's really a beautiful work for string quartet.
We're going to listen to it, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about it after that.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm Kara Hetland. You're in the moment. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Lori Walsh. And joining me is Michael Hill. He is the executive director of the Chamber Music Festival of the Black Hills. We're enjoying fabulous chamber music here in the studio in Rapid City. So thanks for being here. And talk a little bit about the piece we just heard.
Yeah, wasn't that beautiful?
It was absolutely gorgeous.
Drop my note there. I want to share a quote from the composer. That's why I wanted to make sure I get this correct. Now, that was by Smetana. Smetana is known as the father of the Romantic era in Czechoslovakia. He was the Czech composer before Dvorak. And he, this title of this work is From My Life, and there was a quote from him that I wanted to share. This is from Smetana himself. My intention was to paint a tone picture of my life. The first moment depicts my youthful leanings towards art. The romantic atmosphere, the inexpressible yearnings for something I could neither express nor define, and also a kind of warning to my future misfortune. The long, insistent note of the final owes its origin to this. It's a beautiful piece. Smetana, like Beethoven, started to lose his hearing, and he had constant ringing in his ears, and he caused him to reflect back on his life. And this is a beautiful piece. You heard some great music there. And one of the neat aspects of this piece is it features the viola. So you heard Hayobi on the opening of that carrying the themes and the melodies. And it's really, we give violas a hard time. There's a lot of viola jokes, like, what's the difference between a chicken crossing the road and a violist crossing the road? Mm. Chicken's on his way to a gig. But it's Hayobi's such a beautiful player. This is a great piece for her. And Hayobi joins us. She just flew in from Seoul, Korea. She was at home visiting family. And she's a member of the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And we're thrilled to have her. This is Hayobi's first year with us. And it's an honor and a pleasure. And it sounded really beautiful. And I'd like to introduce the rest of the group,
yes,
if that's
absolutely.
Okay. On violin, we have Dr. Wanchi Huang. Wanchi has been with us three different years. And Justin Bruns is here for his second year. I mentioned him earlier from Atlanta. And Joel Dallow has been with us four years. And just phenomenal people. And you can hear the great music that they can produce.
And when you put together this chamber orchestra, chamber group,
chamber ensemble,
it's for a month, it's for the summer.
Well,
how does that work?
They're here for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And it keeps growing, but we're kind of pigeonholed between 4th of July and the Sturgis Rally. So we actually start our educational programs in early June, and all the individual activities that we can create and do on our own. And then these guys come in from all over the world. And Tobias is heading off to Prague after this, and then off to Poland after that. So it's a lot of flying and a coordination of schedules, and it's a pleasure for us because one of the musicians told me a few years ago, he goes, I don't need to do summer festivals like these. A lot of musicians like to do them just because sometimes they need the work. But he was explaining to me that he's at a stage in his life where he doesn't need to do these things anymore. But he loves it so much. It's a pleasure for him to come out to the Black Hills every summer. And it's really a highlight, as he described to me, it was a highlight of his season. Mm.
Because you not only entertain and perform, but then you also do the outreach with the kids.
The outreach, and it's a great group of musicians also. Mm-hmm. And that's why after our concerts, we have what we titled the Booze and Schmooze. We open up the bar after the concert, and we invite all the patrons and the audience members up on stage. We like to get the audience members on stage to see what it looks like, what does it feel like to be on stage, mm-hmm. and to meet our musicians and get to talk with them directly, because they're really some neat people.
And what it sounds like with the acoustics as well.
Yeah. The acoustics on the stage are really phenomenal. I play at a hall in Orlando all year long that it's the acoustics on the stage are the best, and in the auditorium it's not so good. But we're at the Performing Arts Center where the acoustics are really quite phenomenal all the way around.
Okay. Do you want to play some more?
Would you guys like to play Borodin? This is from the Borodin String Quartet.
Thank you.
That's another beautiful work. So Borodin composed that as a 20th anniversary gift to his wife, is what the scholars have listed that. And what's neat about Borodin, and it fits in with our educational programs, not many people know that, he was a Russian composer in the Romantic era, but he also had his doctorate in chemistry. So he was a scientist and very active in the scientific field of research of atoms and terms that I'm not going to try and pronounce because I'm not going to do that. But it fits in with the strong connection that music has with sciences. And I think this community understands that. In my teaching, I'm a professor at the University of Central Florida, and I always find it interesting, the majority of my students are double majors of engineering and music. So there's always been a strong connection. And we encourage the students here, if they want to become engineers, if they want to become musicians, we encourage them to follow their path and try and create opportunities by which they can facilitate that. And I always encourage them to utilize their music as a tool to help pay for school. Everyone knows how expensive college is. And so we've assisted many of the local students with scholarship applications, colleges, finding the best school for them with the best quality faculty that we can find. But there's always been a strong connection. And Dawn thought that this Borodin would fit in perfectly because we'll institute Borodin into our classical programming for the kids. From a historical standpoint of here is someone who was a scientist, and he had a very expressive outlet. He utilized his compositional skills as his outlet into sharing what he had for the world.
So often, listening to music can help you understand the universe?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And then sometimes I've heard pieces where it makes me question the universe. And composers are fascinating people.
Right.
They come up with neat ideas. But so this, what you just heard, is probably Borodin's most famous chamber work. It's a beautiful piece, and it fits in great with the program that we're presenting.
So talk a little bit about the concert series. It's every Friday starting tomorrow for 3 weeks. Each concert is different.
Yes. Yeah, so this week is The Pipes Are Calling. So as by the title's suggestion, there's an Irish lint to it. My family are of Irish immigrants, and my mother is a member of our board who is just now resigning from the board, and so we're putting together a lot of Irish works in her honor. Second concert is Magic and Mysterios. It's title of a harp quintet. There's a Latin composer named Claudia Montero. She grew up in Argentina, lives in Spain. She wrote this new work, and we're doing the U.S. premiere of it. It's a beautiful work. And then the final concert is Ugh, Because I Said So. Now, that Dawn and I are married and have been now for 25 years, as you can imagine, when we're working on the project for throughout the year, there might be a few disagreements from time to time. And I made the mistake of questioning some of her choices, and the response was, Ugh, Because I Said So. And that was the end of the conversation, and that became the title of our last concert. And that'll feature some great works from the Granados Piano Quintet. And as a wise husband, an attempt to be a wise husband, she has never steered us wrong with her programming. It's exceptional, and I think the audience is going to enjoy it greatly.
Fully on board with all of it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good man.
And and because she's right. Yeah, she comes up with these great works. She does a lot of research. And it's important to her that the best music that we can bring with the best musicians, and it's been really become our new passion. And we do have one more work, if that's okay with you.
Well, we have 20 minutes.
We got lots of time.
We have lots of time. We can do more than that. But why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and play another piece, and you can introduce it and the musicians, and then we'll continue our conversation.
I think the audience is going to know this work.
Okay. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Kara Hetland. Michael Hill is here, and we're listening to chamber music, and we have a plan.
We do. We do. A plan is a good thing. Now, so we'd like to do another work for you.
Okay.
Okay. I think the audience will enjoy this, and they'll know it. I'm not even going to introduce it. So, gentlemen, take it away.
Danny boy, the the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are falling. Tis you must go and I must bide. But come back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. Tis I'll be here.
I got chills. Yeah. Everybody else get chills in this? Yeah.
Our apology
beautiful.
To the listeners just blow out the speakers in their car stereo.
No.
Now, if you can imagine tomorrow night at the Performing Arts Center, that's going to fill the stage and it's going to fill the auditorium. That's going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. So, of course, that was Danny Boy.
Yes.
And beautiful work and a beautiful voice. Thank you, Alan and Tobias. Some other fun things that are going to be on this program, which we're not doing for you today, but there is a funny story. So there's other works. There's a Dvorak quintet, and the funniest one is a Mozart Perquesta Bella Mano. Now, this is a rare work for technical reasons because, so the story goes, this was in the last year of Mozart's life. This is a work that will feature Tobias and Alan on piano and double bass. Lovely combination. But it's a hilarious performance work because of how it lays out in the concert. So Mozart was commissioned to write this piece. There was a very famous singer at the time and was writing for this composer. And I'm not sure how the bass player finagled his way into it, but he did. And what you'll see from the stage is that there was a story behind it. See, the bass player was smitten, shall we say, with Mozart's wife, and showed that expressively. And so Mozart took his revenge. So the vocal parts are beautiful. There's these beautiful melodies, and the bass player is scrambling, grabbing multiple notes and chords, and it's going to be a hilarious performance. And I did this piece about 3 months ago with one of the college orchestras that I teach at. And the conductor was taking a rather racy tempo, and things were flying along really fast, and I'm hanging in as fast as I can and grabbing all the notes that I possibly can. And I've never dropped my bow, and my bow went flying out of my hand, and there was this poor student cello, sitting principal cello, and he was really happy to be there, and this bass player's bow comes flying at him, and the bow slams into the front of his strings, and the back of the bow whips around and smacks against the top of his cello, leaves a huge mark, and I'm just mortified at what I just did to this poor kid. But it's so this is one of those performance pieces where you never know what's going to happen. I'm going to hang on to my bow this time, I promise.
You may need to wear a helmet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're giving me lots of room.
So when you know the backstory of some of these pieces,
yeah.
Do you need to get in character?
Well, asking these guys to get into character is not really an issue.
Me because I'll get a little closer to the mic. I sing a lot of Mozart, and I sang the role of Don Giovanni this year, and actually the writing for that piece is pretty, it's the same as singing Don Giovanni's serenade aria. It's nearly the same composition vocally. So when I get the piece, it's almost like I already know it. I just see it kind of like an extra aria in a Mozart opera. So it's just kind of takes a life of its own. Mozart's, you can kind of feel the soul of Mozart when you play his music. So, yeah, it's self-explanatory.
It takes over?
It takes over. Yeah, it does. Mm. Except something that didn't take over, which I'll add about this piece, which is interesting, is it's written for bass. And I am a high lyric baritone. So it's far away from where I sing in some of it. And I've taken the liberty to rewrite a lot of the notes, which in some schools of Mozart performers, they would frown upon, and others would give the liberty. But I'm doing it because I want to play it with Michael. But it's been an interesting thing. We're rewriting notes every day, and so it'll be a very unique performance of this piece.
And that's which performance?
That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Excuse me. In addition to everything else you've heard, we always like to present a variety. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to call this piece a comedy show, but it's going to be interesting. And we never know what's going to happen. And that's part of the joy of live performance and live radio, as you guys experience every day.
Every day.
Every
yes.
day.
But as a double bass player, do you need to get into character sometimes?
I'm just trying to hang on for dear life. That's all I'm doing. There's really not an opportunity, because if you come to the concert, it's a slugfest. And it's one of these works that bass players stay away from, because composed over 150 years ago, and it's still one of the hardest pieces in the repertoire. And bass players we like to play one note at a time and on a good day. And this piece has multiple notes and chords and all sorts of things. So since I made a viola joke, there's even more jokes on bass players. But it's a neat opportunity. I'm thrilled to do it. And it's one of those bucket list works.
Okay. So. And you have another piece of music for us to share?
Yeah. Yeah. We'd like to go back to the Beethoven Irish songs.
Okay.
Tobias, would you like to introduce this one?
Sure. This is The Pulse of an Irishman. Ever beats quicker when war is the story or love is the theme. And place him where bullets fly thicker and thicker, you'll find him all cowardice scorning. And though a ball should maim poor Darby, right at the heart he rallies on. Fortune is cruel, but nor am I cruel. Is kind and with smiling or sorrow beguiling, shall bid from our cannon or care to be gone. And how they will jig it and tug at the spigot on Patrick's Day in the morning. In the wide western waters, sweet air and loved air and the pride of my song. Still brave be the sons and still fair be the daughters, thy meads and thy mountains adorning. And though the eastern sun seems tardy, though the pure light of knowledge slow, night and delusion in darkling confusion, like mists from the river, shall vanish forever, and true Irish hearts with warm loyalty glow. Proud exultation burst forth from the nation on Patrick's Day in the morning.
You have absolutely no fun at all, do you?
No.
Right?
You know, it's great to see people who love their work, and these guys love their work, and I'm so thrilled and glad that they're here.
And let's, we have just a few minutes left, but let's talk a little bit now about a little bit more about sharing that love for children and how people listening can bring their children to you and the opportunities that are coming up.
Well, on our website, cmfbh.org, all of our educational programs are listed in the location and the address. They are all free. And our next one will be this Sunday at 2 o'clock. We have a family musical story time. That'll be Gingerbread Man set in the Black Hills. It's Gingerbread Man lost in the Black Hills, actually. It's a great story. It features all the classical themes that the children know and love. And someone might ask as to why we're playing classical music for the kids, but they know it. They hear it on the TV. They hear it on the radio.
They hear it on their games.
On their games all the time. You hear Bach Cello Suite No. 1 on Toyota commercials. It's in their lives. And it's our job to relate the music to them, help them understand it. These composers had some of them very tragic, difficult lives, much like several of the children that we serve. And we try and share that information with them so that they know that they have an outlet also, and that they can overcome their obstacles and they can achieve great things.
And it's one thing to teach them how to listen to this music and appreciate this music, and it's another to teach them how to play.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And that's where the real benefit comes in educationally. It's learning those fine motor skills. It's learning the attention to detail, the focus, and to love what they're doing. And it's always in a positive atmosphere, in a positive manner, so that the kids, they enjoy it. And it has to be that way, and there's no other way around it.
Okay, and talk again, give an update, times and places of the concert series.
Tomorrow night, Friday night, at the Performing Arts Center of Rapid City. The address is 601 Columbus Street. It's the old Dakota High School, for those of us who've lived in Rapid for a long time. It's a great auditorium. The concert starts at 7 p.m. You can find ticket information on our website. It has direct links to the box office, or you can call the box office directly if you wish, 605-394-1786. Is that phone number.
3 weeks in a row.
3 weeks in a row.
Different program every week.
That's right. And okay. Each one is phenomenal.
All right. Michael Hill, I want to thank you and all of the fabulous musicians for being on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.